The Sheridan's Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items this Thursday and every Thursday, June 18th through September 10th from 5 to 7 p.m. If you'd like a booth for this year's market, contact Nancy Drummond today at 307-751-3863. The Sheridan Farmers Market, sponsored in part by Sheridan Media.
Yeah, looking for that feeling.
Need a boost in Sheridan? Come on by the Health Nut on 5th Street. Give your day a try. Soup, salad, smoothies, fresh and sweet. Quality supplements for the path you meet. The Health Nut on 5th, your wellness retreat.
This is Brad at Primerate Motors. If you're looking for a trailer, we've got a great selection on the lot right now. Horse trailers, heavy-duty flatbeds, cargoes, and dump trailers. Whether you're hauling livestock, equipment, or your toys, these trailers are built for real Wyoming work. Stop by and see what just came in and find the trailer that fits your rig and your job. Primerate Motors at 2305 Coffin Avenue in Sheridan, or visit us online at primeratemotors.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Tuesday, June 9th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we are joined by Wyoming Highway Patrol Lieutenant Louis Tegdesh and Captain Eric Jorgensen. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Captain, it's been a while since I've seen you.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute since, I think, December was the last time we got to hang out. So it's been a minute.
You were off in a training for quite some period of time.
Yeah, so I spent 3 months out in the East Coast attending the FBI National Academy. So went out and did that for 3 months and wrapped that up the end of March. And then April and May have been a blur. And in fact, Lieutenant Tegdish grabbed me yesterday. Louis grabbed me yesterday, was telling me about stuff he's got going on. And I'm like, I think I can go with you tomorrow. I'll jump in and go with you tomorrow. So grab me.
We're very happy to have you here, Captain. It's great to see you. And Lieutenant, how has the road been, my friend? Have we seen increases in traffic as of yet?
Yeah, we sure have. And all the campers are out and about now. And usually it's that magic Memorial Day weekend, and sure enough, we're seeing the traffic. Even with the high gas prices, I don't think it's really deterring that many people from being out right now.
Last time you and I talked, I said that I thought maybe that would kind of slow things down, but here it is. It hasn't.
Yeah, when I'm in Buffalo and I go to the Loves to get a cup of coffee or something and all the gas pumps are full, that's telling.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what changes do troopers typically see on Wyoming highways during these summer months? Is it just increases, or you start to see other trends?
Yeah, one big one is people walking on the interstate.
Oh, wow.
You know, when the weather is warmer, you get the transient people walking, and we get a lot of calls on those too, on those folks. And many people call them in just concerned about their welfare and safety. And most of the time, they're fine. They know what they've gotten themselves into.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt for us to check, because some might need a bottle of water or something when it's hot out. But we'll check on them if we can. And they're usually just walking long distances, especially here in this state. They're going to Gillette or Casper on their way to somewhere else usually. But
yeah.
A lot of times they'll spend the summer in the northern states and be traveling around and eventually make their way south in the wintertime. They're the snowbirds too.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, I never really thought about that. But now, hitchhiking is illegal.
No.
It's not.
It is not. It is not illegal to do that. That actually was changed, gosh, probably about 7-8 years ago. A legislator up in Jackson actually pushed for that legislative change because you would get guys that would go up on Teton Pass and they'd park up at Teton Pass and then ski down. And then they were walking the highway back up to their car where they'd parked. And there were guys that were thumbing rides trying to get back up to the top of Teton Pass to get back to their car. And that legislator pushed to make that change. So there's still regulation on how people can walk. And it boggles my mind of the number of people that want to walk across or bike across the United States.
Yeah.
We get a handful of them that come through through Wyoming every year. But that change, that legislative change, started there, originated there. There's still some requirements when you are traveling on the interstate. So by foot or with a bicycle, we're going to ask that you are walking against traffic. So if you're traveling through, if you're walking through, that way you can see traffic coming at you. Traffic can see you coming at them. So if you're walking, you got to walk against traffic. But yeah, if you're going to stand on the side of the road trying to get a ride, good luck to you. There are regulations. Commercial vehicles are not allowed to pick up hitchhikers. That's a federal regulation. So truck drivers can't, have what they consider an unauthorized passenger in the vehicle. So there are some regulations on how people can do that, but yeah. Just like when my dad was a kid in the late 60s and early 70s, man, he was thumbing rides. He would hitchhike from Rock Springs to Salt Lake almost every weekend.
Wow.
Back in the late 60s. That's where he had friends and stuff. They moved from Salt Lake up to Rock Springs. And so my dad, as a teenager, would go out on I-80 and thumb a ride, get down to incredible. Salt Lake, go spend the weekend with his buddies in Salt Lake, and then thumb a ride back to Rock Springs.
Yeah, I've got a couple friends. They're twins. Now, they're pretty large individuals, not someone that you would want to challenge on the side of the road. But they used to do it across Oregon all the time. They lived in Eastern Oregon, or excuse me, they lived in Eastern Oregon, but they had family in the West. Mm-hmm. And so at least a couple times a month, that's exactly what they do. And it kind of blew my mind every time how fast they'd make it. Mm-hmm. 'Cause we'll give you a ring, we'll let you know. And sure enough, they'd call me from Portland or Eugene, and I'm like, that's incredible, man.
Wow.
It just seems like such a dangerous thing to me.
Yeah, and I think nowadays they're not getting rides as frequently as they would in the past, so mm-hmm. it's taking several days for them to get out of, say, our area where we patrol, where we're getting the calls daily about these people, and eventually they're on to the next area where that troop with their troopers are getting calls on them for a few days. Or, you know, if we want to move it along a little quicker, we might give them a ride to the next town if we're on our way somewhere, just get them off the road, get a little relief from getting calls on them.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the idea of walking and or biking across this country, I'm going to say it, it's romantic.
Yeah.
It's a romantic idea to be able to do it. And I think, you know, during deployment, that conversation came up probably 2 or 3 times. Things that you tell your buddies, boy, when I get home, this is what I'm going to do. This is how we're all going to buy motorcycles, and we're all going to, you remember those conversations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you get home and maybe 10% of the guys actually go out and buy a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Everybody else just gets settled back in. So the increase in traffic during this time of year, do we also, you would think, see increases in crashes and incidents on the freeway. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, typically there's going to be more incidents because there is more traffic, whether it's just traffic complaints coming in, unsafe driving behavior. There's definitely an increase of crashes at times when there's a heavy traffic load, say people are following too close. There's not enough room, that much room for error, and they end up, rear-ending somebody, or you're on these two-lane highways, especially on these mountain passes where There might be slower moving traffic, whether it's semi-trucks or campers and campers, stuff like that. Yep. They can't move as fast, and you got impatient drivers, you know, passing in no passing zones or just following too close. And they just don't set themselves up to be in a safe position. So, yeah, there's definitely an increase in events, you know, but if you're in the wintertime, we can also see, you know, maybe the same amount of crashes just because of the weather conditions. In the summer, it's not necessarily weather conditions a lot of times. Now, the rain will do that with hydroplaning and stuff, and that happened, you know, just a few days ago with people driving the speed limit. And because it's the speed limit, right? That's okay. But when you have significant rainfall and water standing on the road, people need to realize they need to slow down for the conditions to drive in a safe manner.
And that's something I don't think we talk about enough. And I mean all of us nationwide, is hydroplaning. Mm-hmm. I think everybody has hydroplaned at least once if you've done any considerable amount of driving. And holy cow, that is a complete loss control. Mm-hmm. It usually only lasts a couple seconds. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, because this is something that I've done just about every rainstorm when I hit that, like, large puddles. I just take my foot off the accelerator because I believe braking is the wrong thing to do. Just pull your foot off that accelerator and drift, in a way, through the large body of water. Correct?
Yeah. I mean, in any of those situations, no, really kind of no different than when you're on ice. Like, what you want to do is focus on steering input the most. Steering input is by far the most important thing. So feel the movement of your vehicle, whatever your vehicle is trying to do as it's hydroplaning, and focus on how you can steer to correct that movement. That's paramount.
Mm-hmm.
As far as that goes, yeah, braking isn't going to, it's the same thing. It's the same concept. By you applying the brakes, your tires are no longer in contact with the surface of the road. They are sitting, there's water between your tires and the road. So by braking, it's doing pretty much the exact same thing. But when your tires are turning, you're still getting that siping, that tread pattern is still trying to eject water out of the treads. When you brake, there's now no more rotation of that tire to eject that water, other than just that one area of your tire is trying to eject that water. So keeping your tires rotating as it's going through that, good to go.
Okay. So I was correct on that.
Yeah.
And seatbelt use, something else that you and I have talked about frequently, because it's something that we're not seeing a whole lot of. We'd like to see a lot more of it. We get busy travel seasons like this. Are you seeing individuals utilize that seatbelt more often now?
I don't think there's any change at any time of year, really. In general, the Wyoming is a state where we see less seatbelt use. It's unfortunate. However, we do have a lot of out-of-state travelers and from states where you might be able to get pulled over for not wearing a seatbelt. You can't do that here. And I think more out-of-state people are wearing their seatbelts. However, it's a continuing issue with injuries and fatalities and stuff like that. And it's a very simple step you can take to really protect yourself.
Absolutely. It takes just a couple moments. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Wyoming Highway Patrol when we return. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust is launching our Community Commitment Match to support our local fire districts during this fire season.
First Federal is putting up an initial $35,000, and a Wyoming Community Foundation Donor Advised Fund is matching that $35,000. Now we're asking the community to match an additional $35,000.
scan the QR codes in any branch office, check our ad in this week's Country Bounty, or drop off a check at our full-service location at 671 Illinois Street. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Doug, I think I need a truck.
What are you hauling?
Anything and everything.
Oh, then you need this 2018 Ram 2500 Tradesman.
Big truck?
Big truck. Get this, Bob. It's only $399 down and $399 a month payment.
You got to be kidding me. Will people assume I own tools then?
Absolutely.
Perfect. I'll go buy a hammer.
Check out the other $399 down and $399 a month vehicles online at WaringSheridan.com.
Hi, this is Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. From the moment you walk in, we want your meal to feel easy, welcoming, and unrushed. A great night out isn't just about what's on the plate. It's how you're greeted, how you're taken care of, and how everything flows. We pay attention to the details so you don't have to. Good food, good service, good timing, start to finish. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan. Oh, and book your table early on Frackleton's.com.
Is it tinnitus? Is it tinnitus? Regardless, it's annoying. Hi, this is JT with Ebia Hearing. Ringing in your ears isn't something you have to just live with. Tinnitus affects millions, and treatment has come a long way. From specialized hearing aids to breakthrough therapy like Lanier, we can help reduce tinnitus symptoms over time. Relief is possible. At Ebia Hearing, our specialists can help you find the right path forward. Call 674-8920 to schedule your hearing loss or tinnitus consultation today. That's 674-8920.
You know what's frustrating? Your check engine light comes on, and the first place you call says, well, we can get to you next Tuesday. At Midas Tire and Auto, we know your car can't wait. That's why, in most cases, we offer same-day service with a full staff ready to get you back on the road right away. And we stand behind our work with a 12-month, 12,000-mile warranty on parts, plus lifetime warranties on mufflers, shocks, and struts, brakes, and tires. Come visit us today at Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting. And we're sitting here and laughing with Wyoming Highway Patrol Lieutenant Louis Tegedesh and our Captain Eric Jorgensen. Now, increased traffic throughout the area is also going to increase some traffic when it comes to ATVs, UTVs, people out there on the highway. Traveling around, you see a lot of ATVs out there on those roadways.
Yeah, we see a lot. Now, they need to be registered and have certain equipment. They are not allowed on the interstate, but they are allowed on highways, and we see a lot of that on the highways, especially in the mountain areas.
Now, is this mostly side by sides, or is this four-wheelers?
Yeah, anymore it's mostly side-by-sides, but there is still a fair amount of four-wheelers. But you know, the side-by-side is so popular and more comfortable and set up better to actually operate off-road and on the highway that people like to register those. And I think everybody has seen them frequently driving around town
too. Oh yeah, if you want the truth, I'm kind of surprised. Mm-hmm. At the amount of side-by-sides that I see in the city. When it first really started to take off, I was living in smaller ancillary towns. Mm-hmm. Here and there. And that wasn't uncommon. You mm-hmm. know, just jump in that thing and head on over, check your field or whatever. Heck, even over in Nebraska, an entire community just putters around in their golf carts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure they slowly replace that with these new side-by-sides. But that's actually the first place my daughter drove. I thought, it's a golf cart. I'll just let her take control.
That's fun.
It was great.
My wife and I just made a trip down to California and back, and going through Mesquite, we actually were joking around about that exact thing. Was, well, down here, everybody runs around in golf carts. Back home, everybody runs around on side-by-sides. It's just the demographic. That's just where you're going to be.
And four-wheelers, as you said, are allowed on highways, but you've got to have registration and a rear view, correct?
Yep. A mirror, brake lights, a horn, turn signals. If you don't have the turn signals, you need hand signals. There's a list of it that we frequently look up in the statute book if we forget anything about it.
Yeah,
because there's several things.
You got to make sure that all the safety equipment is on the four-wheeler before you take to the road. I think those side-by-sides come with that kind of stuff standard now. So not something that you got to warn everybody about. Now, another thing that we see a lot of motorcycle traffic. Captain, over the years, you and I have spoken about this. I've got a lot of brothers and sisters who are bikers. Mm-hmm. One suffered a major accident and got hit by a bus. We thought we were going to lose him for a long time. But that was simply because he was unaware he was there. I think it surprises everybody how quickly something like that can happen. Make sure that you're checking your blind spots. Right. What else should people watch out for when it comes to our motorcyclists on the road?
Well, I like to think that if you see one, think that there might be more. So when one passes you, take extra time to look in your mirror. And often when I'm driving, especially in my patrol car, I'm driving, you know, quite a bit. I not only look in my mirror, I look over my shoulder. I lean forward to look in my mirror to try to find anything in my blind spot and make sure that there's no one else there, whether it's a motorcycle, car, or anything like that.
Let's talk about follow distances. So,
it's funny. I'm glad you went there. On our drive back, so we drove down to California. So on our drive back on Saturday, we're between Baker, California, which if anybody knows I-15, Baker, California is where the giant thermometer is, right outside of Fort Irwin. So any of you former Army Marine Corps guys that had to go spend time at the NTC, my heart goes out to you. That place is desolate and miserable for a reason. But the Army found the worst, hottest, nastiest place in America and went, yeah, let's put a training center there.
Great and place, that's right.
Anyway, but we're driving between Baker and Vegas is where we're at. And we have this guy and his spouse, significant other, on a motorcycle. And as we're driving up there, I was like, man, I'm going to follow these guys because traffic was heavy and they were getting right up on the back of that bike. And I was like, I'm going to follow these guys for a little bit and try and help keep a little bit of a buffer, because if they go down exactly like what you and I have talked about numerous times, they go down on the ground, man, you have to be able to stop your vehicle before you run over top of their bike, run over top of them. Like there's some things in a tire in the road.
Yeah,
that they can't see, and especially in that heavy traffic, they don't see it because somebody else misses it, and they hit that tire, and it sends them off into a spin, and they go down. The last thing I ever want to do is run over somebody because I was following them a little too close and couldn't shut my vehicle down in time. But, yeah, that was that's something that came to mind, and I'm like, as I was thinking about it, I'm like, Floyd and I have talked about this before. As I'm driving down the road, I'm like, look at that.
Absolutely. So. And it's something that I've always been concerned about. I try to do at the bare minimum what the 2-second rule. I find a lineator post. When the bike passes it, I count in my head, am I 2 seconds behind him? Mm-hmm. Because that is the bare minimum for reaction time. To make sure that if they do go down, if they've got to do, if they have to react to an emergency, am I going to have the time to react to the same emergency? And that kind of stuff sneaks up on you. I was out on a ride with a bunch of my Army buddies when we first came home, believe it or not, used to own a motorcycle. And we had a friend, a brother of ours, most experienced, he was in the lead. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, he's ducking and weaving all of a sudden. Someone had firewood fall out the back of their truck and they didn't bother picking it up. Major accident if a bike were to hit that. My goodness. As you know, especially the speeds we were going at 65, 70 miles an hour. That could have ruined us. And the way he reacted, we were all kind of paying attention. So nobody hit it, thank God. But it seemed to just come out of nowhere. So reaction times, folks, make sure you're bare minimum 2 seconds. If you can, give them 3. I've never understood the following distance that some people just don't seem to want to give others. Right. I don't like tailgating. I know you and I have talked about this in the past. It's kind of a pet peeve of mine, for many reasons. If I've got to react to an emergency, are you going to have time or are you going to rear end me? Mm-hmm. So usually I slow down to the point where they want to pass me. Now, some situations, let's take Highway 16. That's not going to happen for you. There's a lot of no passing zones. Got a lot of campers going up that road right now. Patience.
Patience, especially if you're coming eastbound on 16 from, say, Tensleep. There's very, very few passing zones. One in particular, it's at South Fork Lodge between South Fork and Tyhack. It's barely enough room to get by somebody, let alone more than one car. And that can cause a problem where it opens up to pass and suddenly it necks down at the top of the hill on a curve. Oh, and there's going to be impatient people that are pushing the limits and it could be a recipe for disaster. Now, if you're going west on 16, there's a few good passing zones, but then again, they're still not very long.
Yeah.
So, a lot of the problems you might run into is people that aren't from this area that decide to, you know, pass several vehicles, and then all of a sudden they're stuck in a spot where it's going back to one lane, and then what do you do?
I'll tell you, I've lived in Buffalo for 9 years now. I go up that road quite often, especially when I was working over there. Mm-hmm. A lot of news stories happen up in the Bighorn.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of individuals that I would see take those passing risks always kind of blew my mind. It's that situation where you see somebody passing someone in a situation where you know they're not supposed to, mm-hmm. and you just kind of tighten up, almost preparing for something that could possibly happen. Folks, just be safe. Wear your seatbelt. Ensure that you've got plenty of room to pass and plenty of time. I've seen people go off the side of the road, and I'm sure you mm-hmm. guys have as well, seen people go off on the side of the road to prevent a head-on collision.
Yep.
This is far, far too common. Now, before we get too far off track, before I lead you too far off track, let's talk about riding gear for our biker brothers and sisters out there. Are we seeing folks utilize the equipment that they should have? Leathers, helmets, gloves.
You know, I'm seeing mostly what I see is the helmet use. I think that's increased, which is great. That is going to protect you probably the most if you happen to, you know, tip your bike over or something like that. It's kind of mixed as far as the other gear. A lot of local people out for, you know, a driver in the area might not have that on, but a lot of the people traveling across country usually do. Whether it's the guys in the full like nylon suits with the knee pads and stuff on their overland bikes, or the people with their chaps on their Harleys. I think it's a little more common to have that on when you're traveling longer distances, but people out for just a local ride might not so much have that.
I am glad to hear about the helmet
mm-hmm.
increase. I think we all have situations and stories about people who got into accidents who were not wearing a helmet.
Mm-hmm. The one that doesn't get me still, and I see it every year, and I saw it just Sunday, is the guy on the motorcycle in flip-flops. I don't know how in the world you're riding a motorcycle in flip-flops, man. I don't.
Well,
your toes have to be like iron.
Exactly.
As you're shifting through the gear. I don't know. But yeah, I'm like, that dude's in flip-flops. Like, nope.
It's kind of surprising.
Oh, man. Like you, again, you a little stumble and you go to throw your foot down. Like you just ground off all the skin off your toes. Like they're gone.
Yep. Absolutely. That flip-flop's not going to protect much against that road at 60 miles an hour.
Yep.
You're going to watch that foam fly behind you like a little confetti. All right, gentlemen, I've run out of time with you. Thank you both for coming in. Captains, great to see you. Thanks
you too,
for
bud.
Popping in, stopping by. It's always a pleasure. LT, you and your team, stay safe out there.
Thanks, Floyd. Good to see you.
All right, when we come back, we're going to speak with Sheridan Community Land Trust. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Federal Bank and Trust customers, your next adventure could start with your debit card.
With the Rooted in Adventure sweepstakes, every eligible purchase earns you an entry.
Just use your First Federal MasterCard debit card now through July 31st.
Don't have one? Visit First Federal to get your card and start earning entries.
The more you use it, the more chances you'll receive.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago.
Or a $1,000 or $500 prepaid MasterCard.
Just go online to eFirstFederal.bank for full details.
Heard the news? Conservative Frank Chapman's running for Congress. Frank's joining President Trump's fight to make America great again. So giddy up, Wyoming.
Frank rides the range at the break of dawn. Loves this land, knows right from wrong. A rancher's grit and a father's heart. He fights for us, and that's just the start. Frank Chapman's our man for Wyoming. Seal the border, hold the line. American energy, American beef, constitutional rights, yours and mine. Conservative for Congress. That's the plan, Frank Chapman, Wyoming's man.
Protecting property rights, Second Amendment, defending our freedom. That's Frank Chapman.
Make America great, a fighter for us, Wyoming's Frank Chapman, conservative for Congress.
Paid for by Fighting for Wyoming, fightingforwyoming.com, who is responsible for the content of this advertising, and it is not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
I'm here with Candace Kindred from Teriyaki Madness. Summer is finally here.
Tommy, hi. From days on the lake to weekends in the mountains, you need real fuel for summer adventures.
What's on the menu?
Our new 2x2 bowl. Pick any two of our most popular proteins, chicken teriyaki, spicy chicken, orange chicken, or steak, for a whopping 16 ounces of protein.
Wow, that's summer fuel.
Plus, everything is made to order with fresh ingredients. No heat lamps, no soggy fast food, just big flavor and the fuel to make the most of your summer.
Fuel your summer with Teriyaki Madness.
Hi, this is Jill Bates.
And Colton Bates.
With the Bates team at Best. You've spent months, maybe even years, thinking through whether to buy or sell, watching interest rates and neighboring properties.
But when it comes to choosing your real estate team, it often becomes whoever is available or most convenient when it's officially go time. This process clearly matters to you, so it shouldn't be rushed.
Our team at Best does not cut corners. From top-of-the-line staging to working around your schedule, we're there to give you the best guidance every step of the way. This is no doubt a big moment in your life, and it deserves the best team behind it.
Give us a call today at 675-BEST and visit bestwy.net.
Hi, this is Dan Marshall with Captain Clean, and I'm proud to be a part of Wyoming's premier cleaning company. Whether we are extracting flood water from your home, cleaning a valued oriental rug, or helping you breathe healthier by air washing your ductwork, we are committed to ensuring our service is the best and our prices fit your budget. Call Captain Clean today, 672-0726, or stop by anytime and tour our rug cleaning facility located in the heart of downtown Sheridan.
We clean more for you. We're Captain Clean.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, we are joined by Sheridan Community Land Trust marketing and development contractor, Mr. Chris Verba. Good morning. Welcome back to the show, Chris.
Hey, great morning, Floyd. Thank you for having me.
How are things in the East?
Warm, I guess, overall. But that is to be this time of year.
How about your fishing? Are you getting out there?
A little bit. Got myself an eel out in the river here the other weekend.
An eel?
Yeah, an eel.
That's incredible, buddy. Well, let's talk about...
Hey, they are cool. They are cool fish.
I imagine they really, really are. The only time I've ever gotten to see an eel, though, I would say is like at a large aquarium. And are they good eating?
I have been told they are all right. I am also told they are great striped bass bait.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll stick to the salmon and trout. Let's talk about the new Welcome Center out there. When did this open, Chris, just out of curiosity?
Within the past 2 months. So in early April, we held an open house for our Welcome Center. It, of course, is part of the Big Goose Natural Area, so it's located at 14 Lane Lane, just outside of Sheridan. And it's where the SCLT offices are at, or the SCLT community rooms. If you've come to a program or a discovery session out there in the past, So we took our office space, and this has been a project we've been building towards for a while. And Bruce Ciliano, our outreach and coordinator and assistant, did a lot of work conceptualizing and designing different displays and exhibits that can be up that help people connect with all of SCLT's mission. You know, whether that's being outdoors and on the trail with recreation, whether that's protecting land or stewarding land through conservation, or importantly, preserving our local history. So we have a handful of displays up right now that allow you to be able to do that. One that is pretty neat, and Bruce really has put a lot of time into, is our Creatures of the Night diorama. So there's like an audio recording, and we have the bat lamp up there. And so visitors go into the room, and the lights come down, and all of a sudden they're transported to the sounds of the outside, and there are mounts of like a bobcat in there and different animals that they might encounter at night. So it's an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity to connect. You can touch and feel different exhibits like furs, fossils, rocks, skins, as well as just learn. Also important to know that the Welcome Center is a continual developing project. So what you see today isn't necessarily going to be, it is not the permanent Welcome Center. So exhibits are going to be working in and out over the course of time.
Now, have you had a lot of visitor comments on this Welcome Center?
Yeah, so the folks who come in have really appreciated it and enjoyed it. You know, in May, we had our first summer activity out there, our first little educational program. We had four families bring all their kids over and enjoy it, where they got to learn how to move like a fox and, excuse me, listen like a fox and move like a bunny. And so that was a fun little program that people got to engage in.
It's always amazing the amount of kids that you guys get out there. Many times thanks to Science Kids, who I had on the show not very long ago. Fantastic program. They fill up every year and really get to take advantage of the Big Goose Natural Area out there. You guys kind of have your own little science lab going on.
Yeah, you know, between all of the different experimental treatments we have out there, especially as it relates to conservation projects, you know, between, you know, we are demonstrating virtual fencing on the property. We've done all of our internal fences with wildlife-friendly fencing, and that got accomplished last summer. This summer, stay tuned, we'll have some volunteer opportunities to work on removing our exterior fence that we'll also be replacing with wildlife-friendly fence. We're doing experimental setups on invasive grass and weed management. And, you know, we're also have undertaken restoring Big Goose Creek. So the spring volunteers helped us plant both willows as well as a shelter belt with some cottonwoods around the property. So, you know, really over the course of time, the Big Goose Natural Area is really turning into a fantastic place for our community to come out and enjoy. And you know what? The Welcome Center helps with that. It gives you an opportunity to come in and experience and enjoy, while also getting out on the 117 acres property to enjoy it as well. And now we have some picnic tables, we have a pergola, we have outdoor seating. So really it's coming together over the course of time to really be a place where our community can gather, enjoy, and
And I think that's fantastic. The idea of having members of the agricultural community come out there, look at some of these wildlife fencing, some of the projects that you guys have in restoration. I like the idea that you can just walk through, you can see how it's applied, and if it's going to work for you. I think it's fantastic, almost as like a display showcase over some of the great projects that are going on out there. The repairing of riparian areas, which are absolutely critical to life out here. Let's talk about some of the volunteer opportunities that might be coming up pretty quick. Let them roll, Volunteer Night. What is this, and who should consider participating?
But anybody who loves the trails, quite frankly, going to have a great time out there. So it's a Let Them Roll volunteer night. So that's out at Red Grade Trails. Let Them Roll, of course, is our primary downhill mountain bike flow trail. And this spring, earlier in May, we had the trail closed for a little bit because we had a crew from Integrated Trail Lab in doing some much-needed trail improvements out there. So they did some widening and turns, fixing some maintenance, and improved some drainage on the trail, overall making the trail a much better experience for riders, as well as making it more sustainable and safer. So altogether improving the visitor experience and the rider experience on the trail. But now we're going back through and doing a little bit of your basic touch-up work, helping with some branches. We're doing some weed whacking. We're doing raking. And so this Thursday at 6 o'clock at Base Trailhead, come on out, help us. We'll have food and beverages available for you. And we'll put a little bit of work in making the trail even better than it is now. And afterwards, take advantage of a fantastic summer night and take a ride out on the trail, and you'll get to see all of the improvements that have been made while you're there. So it's a great opportunity to just get out and enjoy our outdoors. And you can learn more about that on our website at Sheridan, CLT, like communitylandtrust.org.
Chris, how important are volunteers to maintaining the trail system that SCLT has developed over the years?
Essential. You know, we've been staffing up and have brought on several part-time and another full-time trail tech through these busy seasons. But without volunteers to be able to help us pitch in and help fill gaps, you know, it's over 30 miles of trail out on the landscape. It's just a lot for anyone to be able to get to. And especially this time of year when everything's been growing heavily. You know, we get these little periods where everything really kind of takes off and then eventually tapers out. So there's just a lot of work to do. I guess the old, excuse me, easy for me to say, a age-old adage of many hands make lighter work, right?
Absolutely.
So without our volunteers, we wouldn't be able to get near as much done, and that means there isn't as much, it wouldn't be as great for our community. So that's really the most important part.
One thing that I really like about volunteer opportunities like this, getting up there, working on the trails, it develops a sense of ownership for individuals. It also creates a situation where people can meet like-minded individuals. And I don't think a lot of people understand how many volunteer opportunities end up developing like good, strong friendships and community, a strong sense of community as everybody comes together to improve one situation with each other. Now, I'm running out of time, and I've kind of gone off topic I don't know how many times today, so I want to bring it back. Virtual fencing. This is one that I really love talking about. It's something that I do believe you brought to me first and foremost, and this was quite a while ago, actually. And then from there, I spoke with John Graves, the Director of Conservation and Resource Management out there at SCLT. Great guy. Very informed. This is a topic a lot of people may not be familiar with. For those who may not know, Chris, what is this new technology?
Well, virtual fencing, quite frankly, the direct satellite technology is a way to be able to manage livestock without having to have as many fences. A lot of the interior fences can be removed, so you can more precisely manage where your herd is at. You know, so importantly, as you mentioned, riparian areas, you can use your phone to set up a fence, and you can't see me doing it right now, but I'm doing my little air quotes with my fingers. But you set up a fence on your phone and keep them out of that sensitive area. Keep them out of the riparian area, which, of course, is important for sensitive habitats, It's also important to be able to, it allows you to more easily move your livestock from different places within your pasture system and on your land without necessarily having to go round them up and herd them over. You can use the electrical cues that are on the collars to help move them from different places on your land. And of course, that also means you can do more precise management with your grazing pasture so that you don't wind up beating up a section of pasture too much. You don't overgraze it, but you can maximize your productivity that way. So it's really cutting edge technology. It's all coming together within the past couple of years. And for folks who are interested, this Friday night at the Ramada Plaza, right at the Sheraton Hotel and Convention Center, there is a virtual fencing dinner and forum. It's free to attend. And it is 6 to 8 p.m. And you will learn all about virtual fencing from our partners at Halter, who we've been working with to help bring virtual fencing to our region. And it's been very successful so far. Just go ahead and RSVP. We have information on our website at SheridanCLT.org. And you can get it there. There's a Saturday field day at the Broken Arrow Ranch as well. So you can actually, you'll learn about how some of the local ranchers have been utilizing virtual fencing and have an idea, the ability to ask questions, and then you'll have an opportunity to go out in the field and see it yourself firsthand. So it's a fantastic opportunity. As long as we're talking about fence and volunteers, I would be remiss if I didn't get to mention a quick thank you to everyone, all the volunteers who came out on Friday, this last Friday, and helped our partners. SCLT is part of the Powder River Fence Initiative. And that group together wound up removing 2 miles of unneeded old fence from the freeze-out stock driveway. So that was a fantastic fence removal project. That area burned during the elk fire back in 2024. So it was some pretty rugged terrain. There was a lot of, we were able to use our new wire winder to get some of the project done, but there was a lot of hand rolling as well. So just fantastic crew of volunteers up there doing that work to help improve that landscape to make it easier for mule deer, elk, moose, everything to be able to pass through it. So fantastic project there.
Absolutely. And I want to thank them, those volunteers as well, putting that sweat in to really improve the area for everyone. When it comes to that virtual fencing, I'm running out of time with you, but I just want folks to know you're going to see a June 5th deadline for that RSVP. I talked to Katie from Halter yesterday. She said, keep them coming. She would love it if you jumped in there. So never mind that June 5th deadline, folks. Jump on there. RSVP. Head to this this talk if you're curious about this technology. It's actually really, really incredible, folks. I was very kind of up in the air about it for a long time. But I can tell you from everyone that I've spoken to, this is a fantastic technology. It works. Now, it's not going to work in every single situation. It's still got room to grow. But it may work for your situation, and you won't know if you don't go. So head on over there, RSVP, attend that, and see what you can get out of it. If you can get a bunch, that's fantastic. If it doesn't work for you, that's fine. You haven't lost anything. All right, now, before I let you go, though, let's talk about the Battle of the Rosebud. You guys have got an Explore History program. I spoke with Spencer Morris on the show, gave us the history of the event. What are folks going to see if they attend this Explore History?
Well, they are going to be able to see all of the 150th anniversary celebration up at the Rosebud Battlefield itself. SCLT is, rather than like bringing the presenter to people here in Sheridan County, we are taking people in Sheridan County up to the presentation. So this is an all-day event. And on SCLT side, we're having folks, we have the ability to bring 8 more people with us in vehicles. So folks can carpool up there or they can hop in with us. We just ask that they sign in, give us an RSVP so we know if if we filled up. And that information is also available on our website. It is Wednesday, June 17th. Or excuse me. Let me get my window moved over real quick. Yeah, it's Wednesday, June 17th. And that carpool is 8:30 a.m. at the parking lot at the Hub on Smith. If you are up in Dayton, you can also hop in with the Tongue River Valley Community Center. They have a bus as well. They're limited to 40 participants, and RSVPs are required for that bus, too. We have contact information for TRVCC on our website, in addition to a sign-up form for the SCLT transportation up there. You'll be able to go up. There's a community meal that will be served. People will get to watch all of the festivities that day. That begins at 10 a.m. with a keynote speaker and a wreath laying in honor of all who fell during the battle. And then you will see tribal riders arriving on a horseback, and there will be a reenactment of Where the Girl Saved Her Brother, a victory dance, and a community meal at the end of the day. And after that, we'll all come back on down to Sheridan. So that's one Explore History opportunity this month. We have a second one coming up on Saturday, June 20th. Due to popular demand, we are going to have our historic Sheridan Railroad District walking tour. And we're actually going to do those on three Saturdays this summer. It'd be Saturday, June 20th, as well as July 19th and August 15th. All of those are going to be, July 18th and August 15th. And all of those are going to be at 1 o'clock out on Grinnell Plaza. So visit our website, sign up. You're going to learn all about our railroad history through the walking tour. Speaking of volunteers, we had some incredible volunteers that helped us put the research for that walking tour together. So a special thank you to them. We appreciate their help.
Chris, I greatly appreciate you for calling in. This was a last-minute thing, and you came through for us once again. Thank you so much, my friend. I've run out of time with you. Get some hooks in the water. I always think about you whenever I think about fishing.
Hey, thank you so much for having us, Floyd.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust invites you to the Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes.
Now through July, every eligible purchase with your First Federal MasterCard debit card earns an entry.
You don't have a card? Open an account online to start participating.
The more you use your card, the more chances you earn.
You could win a trip for two to New York, LA, Miami, or Chicago, or prepaid MasterCards worth $1,000 or $500.
The Rooted in Adventure Sweepstakes on now at First Federal Bank and Trust. Go to efirstfederal.bank for full details.
Here in Wyoming, your roof better be tougher than the weather. At Branded 307 Roofing, we install commercial purlene-bearing roofing, residential metal roofs, and standing seam systems built to handle hail, wind, snow, and whatever else the bighorns can throw at it. Metal roofing is up for the challenge. Whether it's home, shop, ranch, or commercial building, we build roofs that last with craftsmanship that's built different. No shortcuts, no excuses, just quality roofing, period. Call us today, Branded 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
America in the Morning, weekday mornings at 5 on News Talk 930.